thank you for yesterday. I felt very blessed, Ricky, and the family felt very blessed. And I kept saying to people, the last time people said such nice things to me was at my wedding. It was a very special day. Before we get going with our message, let me just pray and ask God to just open up our hearts to plant some seeds that will grow and deepen our faith and walk with the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And whenever we open it, there is so much that we can look at, can learn. And I pray that as I speak, there will be something taken by your Spirit and put into our lives that will grow and bear fruit for us in our walk with you, in our desire to follow you more closely. And so just take these words that were written nearly 4,000 years ago, and may they have an impact upon us, and may they transform our lives, we pray. Amen. Just before we get going with our message, just see if we got some action there. Okay, there we go. I was in Cuba. I was actually, normally I'm in Havana, which is the other end of the island. It's a very long island, but I was down in Santiago, which is in the sort of southeast of the island, just opposite Jamaica. And I was working with, I'm not sure we're getting any. So. You have to, maybe have to move, make sure the mouse is moved off or something, but. Yep, there we go. So it's a sort of a quite a rural area, hills, green, occasional cars going by. There's not a lot of cars on the road because of sanctions. They don't have a lot of petrol. And I was working with a group of eight pastors and some other leaders from churches. They're mainly house churches, so they're little churches about the size of our church, but they're all squeezed into these little houses, and they'd come from across the region for 48 hours retreat. So they were together for 48 hours of training, and we had a great time together. I also took some supplies for them because of sanctions. They're not able to get medicine, for example. So somebody in Southampton had kindly sent me with a lot of paracetamol, and we had other little bits and pieces that I brought in Miami for them. So this is the leaders with their little bags. The church didn't have a table, so they did the group work on the floor, and we ate around with food on our laps. I took a keyboard. But looking at prayer this morning, God answered my prayer because I was very worried about taking a keyboard to Cuba, and they wanted me to take one from Southampton, but in the end, a kind Christian lady in Miami offered to buy a brand new keyboard, so I took it to the airport, and then they said, you can't take a keyboard because it's in a box. We only allow stuff in bags. I was like, well, where am I going to buy a bag? They said, well, the people who wrap up all the luggage, they might have a bag, but it will never fit. So I went over there, got a bag, and it fit in the bag. And then I was checking in, and he said, that'll be an extra $200 for the second piece of luggage. I said, but I received an email to say I had two free pieces of luggage. So I don't know how you got that email, but let me have a look at your email. And he said, yep, must be a mistake on our system, but we'll honor that. And then I had to declare it at customs, so I went to the red lane in Cuba, expecting them to charge me some money. And they looked at my bags and said, go on through. So I was like, I've got into Cuba with a keyboard. And so the church was very blessed to have a little keyboard. That was a church service last Sunday. I was with the church there in the house. So it's, can't really see, but they have a little living room that's used for the sanctuary. And then behind that is a kitchen. And on the right are the bedrooms. And they're all just sort of separated by curtains. But amazing people. And they, after doing this training, I'm not a strong Spanish speaker. They said, well, would you preach for us on Sunday? I said, oh my gosh. But I had been preparing for this message, so I gave them the sort of the beta version of this message in Spanish, and they quite liked it, so here we go. So we looked at last time, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Abraham and works. And we saw that in chapter 15, Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. And then almost immediately, perhaps even days later, Abraham stopped trusting and he started working to achieve the purposes of God in his own life. And that led to conflict, led to complications in his family. And then we looked at the New Testament, at how works, you know, God speaks about works not being beneficial to our life. And I think Galatians sums it up when it says that the problem with works is it invalidates Christ. So if we could work for our own salvation, we didn't need Jesus. And it diminishes God's glory. If it's my glory, then God doesn't get the glory. And so this idea of grace, it raises Christ to the supreme position and it glorifies God. And we had that line, grace is great and works don't work. Just to sort of catch us up, because we've skipped over a little bit, we're going to focus on these verses about Abraham praying to God. And then the next time, which will be January the 7th after Advent, we'll actually look at chapters 17 to 21. Because if we don't always see in Genesis, but they occur within about a one-year period. So there's lots of little events that happen in about 1 year. We'll call it countdown. Chapter 18 in the Talmud, this is the Jewish sort of commentary on this passage, say that the Lord visited Abraham on the third day after he was circumcised. And they say that God had graciously sent a heat wave, so Abraham was seated in his tent and resting. And then they say it was a display of great hospitality that Abraham ran to invite the Lord to eat when he was in so much pain. And so they have this meal together. And as I was reading the passage, I like to journal a little bit. I thought, well, it's quite interesting comparing Abraham. So he's washing the Lord's feet. And I thought about, this is Jesus who will later be washing the disciples' feet. And Abraham prepares the Lord a meal. And I thought about John 21, about where Jesus would later prepare a meal for the disciples on the beach. And then it talks about Abraham waiting on them in the shade of a tree. And they were eating over there and he was waiting here. And it reminded me when I'm in Sierra Leone, we were there with Pastor Philip. And he would serve us food and then he would go off. And we thought, well, this is a bit strange. So I said to Pastor Philip, what's going on? He said, well, in our custom, it's not normal for me to eat with the guests. So I just wait over there while the guests eat. So kind of like Abraham. So I said to Pastor Philip, would you eat with your family? And he said, yes. I said, well, let me ask you, am I a guest or am I family? He said, you're family. So from then on, he came and ate with us. But that was sort of a cultural thing where Abraham would stay on the side and God would eat. And his two angels would eat over there. This is also just to sort of give us some context. This is what they call a theophany, which is a visible manifestation of God. And the Jewish scriptures make it clear that this was the Lord. So they use the Lord in quite a few verses. This is the word Yahweh. We're reminded in Exodus that no one can look on the face of God and live. And so this is what they call a Christophany. This is a theophany of Christ, an appearance of Christ. This is Christ with his glory veiled in flesh. So it's Jesus appearing to Abraham. And so what we read this morning was Abraham's prayer for Sodom. And I have just 5 points. We're going to make them quickly because we've got this members meeting coming up. But these are points to help us in our own prayer. And I think prayer firstly, through prayer, God reveals his plans and purposes. So in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? It's not really answered, yes, I'll reveal it, but we get to see that God is revealing his plan as he goes through this prayer. And I think as we pray, God reveals his plans and his purposes for us, for this church. I think, as you heard yesterday, as I prayed, I had no idea about where we were going to move to in England, and God, I prayed, and God guided us very clearly to Southampton. And then when we began to think about a church, a ministry position, we prayed, and we looked at an option, and the door closed, and then suddenly the option for this church opened up. And so as we pray, God reveals his plans and his purposes, and that's part of the reason why we pray, is for God's will to be done and his plans and purposes to become obvious. On the other side, James says that when we pray, God reveals our wrong motivations. He says you don't have because you don't ask, and when you do ask, you ask for the wrong motives. And I think as we pray, God also reveals our wrong motives, so we get to align, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Secondly, through prayer, Christ reveals his heart, and then we begin to align with his heart. And this is a little bit more difficult to see in the passage, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but in verses 18 to 19, Abraham is told, "You will become a great and powerful nation. You're going to be a family that blesses all the families of the earth." And then God goes on to literally say to Abraham, "Of all the families of the earth, you are my chosen, my special family." And I think in the context, it would have been expected for Abraham to say, "Go on, Lord, you know, destroy the competition. Come on, let's establish myself, you know, let's establish ourselves here the land." And I think it's unexpected that Abraham would say, wait, Lord. I mean, why would Abraham do this? I think a reason why Abraham would do this, because he is concerned for his nephew Lot and Lot's family. But I think there might be more in the text, or more in the context of the whole Bible. Because I think Abraham knows and he aligns with the heart of God. I think he's talking, as we've said, to Jesus. And this is Jesus who will say later in the Gospels, God is like a shepherd, and he has 99 sheep, and one of them gets 100 sheep, and one gets lost. He'll leave the 99 and go and look for the one. God is the God who's concerned about the one. He's reflecting, perhaps, before his time, on the Lord who will say through Peter, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Or in Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." And so I think in this passage, he is somehow understanding the heart of God. That it's not like Abraham leading its way, but it's Abraham's beginning to understand more of the heart of God. That this is not a God who wants to readily just judge these two towns, but this is a God who's concerned about the righteous, concerned about the lost. Thirdly, we're to pray authentically. We read that Abraham approached the Lord. And in Hebrews, we're told that we can approach God with boldness. And Abraham is also bold, it says in the passage that we read. Abraham is described in Isaiah and in James as the friend of God. And many people believe that it's this passage that most shows Abraham's friendship with the Lord. Because Abraham begins to barter for his people, or to haggle. I don't know what word we would use here, but he barters for his people. When I visited Morocco many years ago, I was with Rikia and they were trying to sell us a carpet. And they said, go on, shock me with your price, you know. So I gave him a big price, and a low price, and he nearly fell over. Oh, what a shock. But you know, you negotiate and you come to a deal. And in Spanish, we were talking about it last week, that business, to do business is to negotiate, it's called negociar, to negotiate. And so I think Abraham has been an authentic Middle Eastern businessman with God. He's in his context, he's straightforward, he's authentic with God. And I think prayer is a lot about authenticity with God. Jesus, if you remember, says that we are not getting to. We are to pray authentically. In Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8, it says, God's a Father who delights in our prayers. We can come before Him and pray. But he also goes on to say God doesn't like showy prayers. He doesn't like us to make a big show and sort of a lot of noise and impress everybody. God likes it actually when we pray in secret, when we pray silently, when we pray authentically to Him. God doesn't like it, Jesus says, when we use lots and lots of words. He says, you're not going to be heard because of your many words. God just wants us to come authentically and pray to Him. And I think we see this tremendous amount of authenticity in the life of Abraham. He approaches God and he speaks to God as a man would speak to a friend. I've been reading this book. I was reading it while I was away. It's Tim Keller's book called Hope in Times of Fear. It's about the resurrection. And he has a little chapter on Mary clinging to Jesus when she sees him as the risen Lord. And he says to her, Mary, don't cling to me. I am ascending to my Father and your Father. And what they believe Jesus is trying to say is, if I go to heaven, you'll have a greater gift because I will be available intimately to every believer in the world. If I stay here on earth, I'm just for you, but I want to ascend to heaven so I can be available to every single believer around the world intimately. And Keller writes this about this little section. He says, intimacy with the risen Christ is one of the gifts given to believers in the resurrection. It takes the form of a genuine give and take, speak and listen relationship with the Lord through worship, through the word, and through prayer. And because Jesus is not a dead teacher, but a risen living Savior, we can have such a relationship. And so God wants us to be authentic. He wants us to have a real relationship with Him. And if you don't know the right words to use, that's fine. Just use your own words. God loves it when we talk to Him. Prayer is reminding ourselves by reminding Jesus. And in this dialogue with God, Abraham reminds God of his character. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? He's reminding God of his character. And so as we pray, especially as we pray through scriptures, we are reminding God, and in the process, we're reminding ourselves. So prayer is, in a way, reminding ourselves as we remind God. And this is a picture of flowers in the desert. And I mentioned yesterday, we went in 2018, and for almost a year and a bit, through quite a difficult time in our life and ministry. And I felt like God said to me, I want you to read the prophets. And so I spent a long time reading through all the prophets and then through all the Psalms and journaling on them. And I would read one a day and I would journal on it. And over again, I found the theme of life after death, of flowers in the desert, of water in the desert, and green, and you know, growth in the desert. Or in Isaiah, it talks about beauty from ashes. Or in Joel, it talks about green grass after locusts. There's also this idea in the prophets of resurrection after death. And what I found is, as I journaled on these promises, I was sort of reminding God, and by reminding God, I was reminding myself. And as I did this, over time, I found that my own heart was being renovated. My own heart was experiencing new life and growth and resurrection. Hallelujah! That's peace. Hallelujah. And finally, prayer is Jesus, God in conversation with us. Because it's interesting in the text, we read it, and it's Abraham having a conversation with God. But at the end of the text, it says, when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. And I was reading it, I thought, wait a minute. It seems to be all about Abraham talking to God, and now it's like God talking to Abraham. Like, who's talking to who in this text? But prayer is definitely a conversation of God with us. Many years ago in my church, someone said to me, you know, I've never heard God speak to me, not even one word. And I said to them, you know, you need to start by reading the Bible, because in the Bible, you're going to find thousands and thousands of words that God is speaking to you. As you read the Bible, you get to hear God speaking to you. And for me, that's been true in my own life. A few times I've sort of felt God strongly saying something to me, but every day as I read the Bible, I find God speaking to me. And so this is a real gift that we have. If we want to hear the voice of God, we have our Bibles. And I find God converses with me through his word. And what I'd like to do is, I like to sort of read a chapter and then choose a little verse and journal on it and journal prayers around God speaking to me through that verse. And I find it's been a very sort of enriching thing, and I've done it for many, many years. I came across a book, and the book was, I think it's called The Divine Something, not Conspiracy, Divine, I can't remember the second part, but it was written by Wayne Cordero. He's talking about Jesus being the divine mentor, but it's not called The Divine Mentor. I'll think of it in a minute. But he has planted in more than 100 churches, and he attributes it to something called soap. And he encourages all of his church to do that. And so he says, I want you to read a chapter each day of the scriptures. I want you to observe something in that scripture. I want you to apply it to your life and write something. And then I want you to write a prayer. And the way that they sort of run their small groups is people do that during the week, and then they get together and then they discuss the scripture that they've been reading, an observation, an application, and a prayer. And he says it changed his church so much that they were able to plant another 100 churches. But I think for me, that is really what it's about. It's about a conversation between us and God. It's about listening to God. And something like soap, if you want to use it, is a way to sort of invite God to speak to you through the scriptures. And so Paul says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And I think as you allow God to speak to you through the scriptures, it will bless others. Have something to share with others. But it's also clear in that text, as you let the word of God dwell in you richly, it blesses your worship and your prayers. So just to sort of summarize everything again, prayer reveals God's plans and purposes. Prayer reveals God's heart. and we can align our hearts with God's heart. We are to pray authentically, to pray intimately. Prayer is in a way reminding ourselves by reminding God. And prayer is a conversation of God with us. And I think especially it's a conversation as we read His Word and we say, God, speak to me through Your Word. So, a few little things to take away. This is like Danielle's little boxes at the end of her lovely lunches, so we get to take these little pieces away. Luke says we are to pray and not give up. And I love it that it says Abraham remained standing before the Lord. So there's a sort of sense that he prayed and he didn't give up. We are to draw near to God, says James, and he will draw near to you. And I love it that the text says that Abraham approached the Lord. We're to pray alone, we're to pray with others, and we are to pray without ceasing. Amen. Let me just pray. Lord, there's so much, and this is just a little tiny taste of all that you have for us in your word. And I pray that you will help us, Lord Jesus, to really grow in our knowledge and our love for you, to grow in our prayer life. Lord, help us to be a praying church, both individually and also corporately. And help us to really believe that you're a God who delights to hear our prayers, and that you will always give us the answer that we would want if we knew everything that you knew. And so I pray that we will experience you speaking to us, we'll experience you answering our prayers, and we will be able to sort of share that with others, Lord, and encourage others to say, you know, I've prayed and I've heard God and I've seen him at work. And so increase our prayers, we pray, and help us to learn from the life of Abraham. Amen.
So we're going to close with